May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with us. The text from Isaiah, appointed for this day and read from the lectern, is a dramatic example of a truth Isaiah states later in his book, namely that God's ways are not our ways. And I mean that passage in the same way Isaiah meant it. Not merely that God's ways are mysterious and inscrutable, they are, but above all, that God's ways are gospel ways. Look at our text. God announces his plan to use a pagan Persian king named Cyrus to deliver Israel from Babylonian captivity and to restore that nation's fortunes. It's the scandal of particularity all over again. God engineering history and moving worlds for the earthly welfare and the spiritual salvation of an obscure people. And yet not altogether particularity. For through his rescue of Israel, God provides for the evangelization of the whole world, in the words of our text, that they may know from the rising of the sun and from the west that there is none beside me. But it doesn't stop there. God doesn't merely use that instrument called Cyrus and then discard him, as he had every right to do with his pagan ruler. He calls Cyrus individually by name. He showers him with military victories and hidden treasures. He confers upon Cyrus noble titles such as shepherd and anointed. The latter title, anointed, an honor normally reserved only for Israelite kings. Best of all, God even arranges for the eternal salvation of this pagan monarch. Twice in this text, God reminds Cyrus that he has not known God, but then assures him that he's going to know God. In God's own words, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which call thee by name, am the God of Israel. And I understand the word know in that verse to refer to saving knowledge of God, and not just to a reluctant acknowledgement of God's superiority and lordship. Cyrus is meant to discover that he's not just God's tool, he's God's goal. Talk about grace. Talk about particularity. We've come full circle. We're right back to the scandal we started with. Well, lucky Cyrus, and good for him. Where do you and I fit into this picture? To ask this question sounds like a megalomania. Regality is not exactly our line. If we fit into God's scheme of things at all, we're more likely to belong to that class Paul talks about in 1 Corinthians, the not many wise, the not many mighty, the not many noble, those foolish things of the world God uses to confound the wise, those weak things of the world God uses to confound the mighty, and those base things of the world and things which are not, God uses to bring to naught things that are. Well, okay. But we still have a lot in common with Cyrus. Consider. God has called us too individually by name in baptism, and he calls many of us again, calls us into the holy ministry. Why? So that the Israel of today, the whole Christian church, and so that the whole world might know God. Many of us too are shepherds or under shepherds, if you prefer. God reminds Cyrus in verse 5 that he has girded him. Well, God has girded us too, girded us with the righteousness of Christ. It may sound a bit contrived, but we're even kings of a sort. Revelation 1:6 tells us that Christ has made us, and I quote, has made us kings and priests unto God. Indeed, in the words of the mother of Jesus, God has exalted us of low degree. Let me specify. Maybe you're a kid from the ghetto, and here you are, thanks to some friends and their money, studying at one of the foremost seminaries in our country. Maybe you're the product of some casual fornication, and thanks to adoption by Christian parents, you now find yourself headed for the holy ministry. Maybe you're a boy straight from the farm, and surprise, surprise, you find yourself some years later teaching on a seminary faculty, and you haven't been found out yet. I preach a sermon? You mean me? Why, I still haven't recovered from the time I got stuck in my recitation at a Sunday school program and had to sit down in abject defeat. Once upon a time, you were a gangly, awkward lad in a confirmation class, and some pastor thought you had potential. And now, you're doing graduate work in Semitics. Lucky you. And good for you. And here's the final surprise. Like Cyrus, we're not just privileged to be God's instruments in his saving work. We're also fortunate enough to be God's saving goal. What's our response? In the words of Jesus, rejoice not that the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven.